This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to everyone tonight for Wednesday, December 7th, 2011. My name is Doug Kelly. I'm your host. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Welcome.
Good evening, everyone. Good to be here again.
Yes, just a week later, and we'll get through some of the pre-announcements here, and we'll get into our topics for tonight. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. As part of our regular educational program, our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. We welcome those who are joining us live tonight, the throngs of listeners out there, and as well as those who are listening to the archive. Hey, quit laughing. You're giving it away. So tonight we're going to be talking about how to be a real-life human being. Probably could be a little more attractive title there, but, you know, that requires thought. And, you know, I don't even
know. We're off to a good start, aren't we, tonight?
Yeah.
That's great.
And we're also going to talk about how we lose sight of our intuition. If you'd like to call in and be a part of this, we would love to hear from you. You know, it makes the shows better if you call in and you have something you'd like to ask or a statement or something like that. We can do that. Or if you'd like to type it in the chat room, you can do that too. But we encourage you to participate in some way. If you do call in, the number is 714-459-3973. There on your screen, you can also use the Skype button. Reverend John Hightower will be screening your calls as usual. So I guess for some of our listeners, I could probably say this at the end too when we've got more people logged on, but had an opportunity to do a radio interview last night. Some of you in the chat room were tuned into that one as well. It was on Paranormal and Metaphysics on the Project Freedom website, and it was a nice interview. It was a couple hours and
very good interview.
Yeah. It went. I enjoyed it. You know, we had a lot of people on there, a lot of IMHS students, and that was great to see, and a lot of nice comments, and I appreciate that from everyone. I truly do.
Had some good discussions on there last night. Very, and good questions, I might add, too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of good questions and a lot of good points. So, if you are a MCHS church member, you can listen to that archive if you missed it. It's in the forum. You just have to log in, and you'll see the post there. I haven't added the archive anywhere else at this point. I may do so. If I do, it'll be on the church website somewhere, mchschurch.org, probably under a media section. But and I probably won't announce it, but if I do add it somewhere else, it'll be there. So how's that for definitive? Pretty good?
Well, we're getting there. You know, we keep evolving. We keep growing. We keep adding things in. And of course, now, you know, you're being invited to do other shows, too. And we're expanding our base. So it's working. You know, we got all these little things to learn as we go along, too, Doug. So
yeah.
I think we're doing just fine.
Well, always. And just in case there is somebody listening to the archive who has a show and you want to talk about metaphysics or paranormal or spiritual counseling, any of the stuff we teach at the school, you're, you know, I'm more than happy to go and help you as a guest, or, you know, just contact me, send me an email, admin@mchschurch.org. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. First point of discussion is how to be a real live human being. And I suppose at first glance, when people are thinking, you know, what does that exactly mean? I mean, of course I'm a real-life human being. What's wrong with you? Well, nothing that meds won't help, but I resist that.
But stop taking them, Doug. That
well,
helps.
I did, and that's my problem. So, you know, what does it mean to be a real-life human being? Well, it's actually a bit of a deeper topic than I think most folks will realize at face value. There's always more beneath the stuff, you know, that I hit on. And this one is one that is, I don't know, I guess it's especially relevant to me in my life because it has to do, in my mind, with being personable, with being real, being honest to yourself mostly, honest with others. It has to do with self-acceptance, how you treat other people, how you do a lot of things in your life, including public speaking. It just, it really does run through a lot of, most areas of our life. And so I've got a few points here that I'd like to go over on how to be a real life human being. The first point and the most important point is to accept yourself just as you are, unconditionally, warts and all. Be who you are. Accept yourself for who you are. Don't take yourself too seriously. And you've probably heard me say that before. I've said it many times. And the reason that I say that, not only to teach it, but to also remind myself. I have to constantly remind myself not to take myself too seriously. I remember several years ago when I was doing seminars, and you know, I'd get in, at times I'd get audiences that I honestly thought were dead and just didn't realize it yet. So, you know, I wanted to just say, boo, and see what happened. But, you know, I'd take a break and thinking, wow, I cannot draw these people out. They're just, yeah, I can't do anything. So it really got on my nerves. It got frustrating. And then I remembered, Doug, don't take yourself so seriously. It's not all about you. It's not all about them. It's about everyone. And so for me, that's a great reminder not to take myself too seriously. I'm telling you guys, listeners, that can really, really help. We can get frustrated. We can be driving down the road, and you know, and we're following Obelivius. What do? We end up getting upset, frustrated, you know, and the remarks come out. Of course, I've never done any of this. I'm just, you know, I've heard experiences like this, so I'm relating from that point of view. But if we take ourselves too seriously, that's what happens, and it's just really no big deal. We've got to be choosy on what we actually choose to give our energy to. So don't take yourself too seriously. Another thing about being a real life human being is self-completeness. Being complete within yourself means being a real life human being, personable. And I'll get to that in just a second. But it also means to not be intimidated by others. And I'm sure we've all been there, right? I know I have. At times in our lives, perhaps we've been intimidated by somebody. Now, this can happen in a lot. Well, it just depends. Well, you know, one of the times it happened to me, I'll just give you a for instance. This was the last time that it happened to me. It's been, gosh, oh, man, it must have been about six, seven years ago, something like that. I was doing a seminar in, where was I? I was in Phoenix, I think. Gosh, I got around so much. It was in Phoenix, I think. Yeah, it was Phoenix. And there was, I was doing a conference, and there was, I was handling the seminar. There were two half-day sections. I had one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Well, the company that I was contracting with would often send what they call the program coordinator, somebody just to assist with products and things like that, and helping register folks and that sort of thing, and sign them in, that sort of thing. Well, the program coordinator for that day happened to be another speaker who was with contracting with the company as well, and nice guy, and been with him longer than me. I'd never had another speaker as a program coordinator, and never had one after that. So apparently there was nobody available. He was the only one, so he agreed to do it. So anyway, nice guy. And, you know, I found myself just, I don't know, involuntarily becoming a little bit intimidated or a little bit self-conscious, if you will, while I did the program. And, of course, I mean, I didn't just start speaking. I've been speaking. I think I gave my first talk when I was 7. So I've been speaking all my life. But for some odd reason, I'm there delivering the seminar, and I'm becoming self-conscious. What is he thinking? You know, this is years ago, but, you know, and then the thoughts that came after that is, Doug, why do you care? You know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. You know your stuff. Why are you feeling these feelings? And if you're not a speaker, it's kind of interesting. You know, you could be up there delivering a talk or a presentation, and you've got all this inner dialogue going on. I mean, I could, you know, work out theory of relativity while I'm doing a presentation sometimes. It's just like you've got this background chatter. And so I had all these dialogue. That was the last time, but it was a great experience for me because I really analyzed that and I really looked at it. And it's led to, of course, where I am now, and that is to be a real live human being. I'm not the same as him. He's not the same as me. He was a nice guy. He didn't do anything. He was just there. It was Doug. It was my stuff, not his stuff. Well, what about you? You know, do you ever have those times when you feel a little bit intimidated? Now, this can happen also if you're doing any kind of testing for your company. Another time that can be a bit awkward for people is when you're doing practice, like you're practicing your job for the boss, or you're showing your boss how to do something. I get it with students who will do a spiritual counseling, a coaching practicum with me on Skype. So they're basically, I'm the client, and they're playing the role of the counselor, and they can get very nervous about that. And I try to set them at ease, and I usually do.
Doug, do you think that sometimes that's a little bit of an inferiority complex that we all tend to have a little bit of? And I think that's because, in my view, it's because we're in such a competitive world, very competitive society, and if we don't measure up, you know, we can tend to feel a little inferior.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah. It all goes back to, you know, to them esteem, really. You know, it's that. And yeah, a little inferiority, and we all battle with it. We've all battled with it for a long time. I guess we don't all battle with it, but most of us battle with it at some point. We all battle with it at some point during our life, that's fair to say. But the point that I'm trying to make is, if you're a real live human being, you accept yourself as you are unconditionally, and you understand that you have a right to be who you are, and you adhere to the admonition that what you think of me is none of my business, or the adage, I should say, what you think of me is none of my business, then that seems to go. We don't take ourselves too seriously, and then we lose those feelings of intimidation or being nervous around others when we're doing something that they do. I mean, in all the times, all my public speaking and professional speaking and the training I've gone through for those, it's tough to get up and do something in front of your peers. If it's a presentation, usually it's a presentation, but it's tough to get up in front of your peers and do it. And a lot of folks really have a hard time with that, but you got to take ownership of that. You got to know who you are, be complete within yourself. That's part of being that realized being.
Sometimes I wonder how we can debrief ourselves better, you know, like different kinds of tricks or skills to debrief ourselves from having these little insecurities or these little inferiorities that we tend to have, you know, especially in the moment when it's happening. Mm-hmm. Like what could be some trigger words or trigger things we can do for ourselves to touch base, you know, and oh, I'm okay, just
right.
Take a breath.
And we may have those things that come up involuntarily, but you got to tell yourself, don't take yourself too seriously. You have a right to your perspective, the same as anyone else, no more, no less. Without judgment. And if people want to judge you, and they will, they'll criticize, they'll whatever, people are people, it does not matter. What you think of me is none of my business. So when we are in those situations, we get up and we are who we are. And I'll talk, well, I'll just throw it in right now since we're kind of talking about public speaking. You have a right to express yourself as appropriate, whether it is a presentation in front of a group or whether it's one-on-one. You have a right to express yourself appropriately. Doesn't mean that you have to jump at every chance to give your point of view. It needs to be appropriate. It needs to be the right time. It needs to be relevant. But if it does come down to that where you need to express yourself, do so. There's a lot of people who do it too much and a lot of people who don't do it enough. You can express yourself, so do that. And this is one of the things that I teach in public speaking, too. When I listen to somebody doing a presentation, if they read it, oh, wow, worst thing you can ever do. Because I would prefer if you just print copies and give it to the audience and we can read it. I don't want to hear somebody read something, and I don't like canned. I want to see what's inside the person. I want to see who they are. I want to see their unique perspective. I want that real live human being that lives inside that body to come out and gift me something, right? Share something, share a position, share a perspective, share something with me that will help my life. And
I got a pet peeve. If I just have to jump in here, because my pet peeve when I ask somebody, what do you think? And they quote a book.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drives me crazy. Well, does that mean I should go read the book?
Yeah, go read the book. You'll know what I think.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. So,
I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. So if you're called upon to share a position or perspective, understand that you have a right to do that. You have to remind yourself, it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter whether they agree. It doesn't matter whether they disagree. It doesn't matter. What matters is that it's your perspective. And so be free about it. Be free about it. Oh, yeah, and there's a comment by Eric in the chat room. Tell that to the president who reads off a teleprompter. Now, and I get what you're saying. In all fairness, there are some discourses, some speeches, some presentations that absolutely have to be done. They are worded that way specifically so they don't get themselves in hot water. You know, and frankly, presidents can say some off-the-cuff remark and the stock market reacts negatively. So I get that part of the thing. I think the real trick with those reading from a teleprompter is how conversational they can make that. You know, how...
Or make sure they have their glasses on or something.
Yeah, and make sure
so they get it right.
Make sure they can pronounce nuclear okay, or properly, I should say. All right, I'm not going there. Oh, you did go there. Well, yeah, but now I'm leaving it. Okay, so that is about expressing yourself. Now, we've kind of been talking about ourselves, being how to be a real-life human being, but we've been really directing it toward us, inward, toward us. So just to reiterate, don't take yourself too seriously. Be personable. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Don't be intimidated. Don't be nervous. If you do, just remember, don't take yourself too seriously. You have a right to this expression. Now, I also want to apply this toward your attitude or our attitude toward others. We need to respect and appreciate others and their plights. This is another big part of being a real-life human being. Other people are real people. They have challenges. They have their victories, their defeats. They have their likes, their dislikes. They have their issues. They have their fears. They're just like us. And we need to see other people like that, understanding that they are in this same human experience that we are, you know, broad human experience. That means we should be sensitive and compassionate to their issues, their struggles, and their needs. And it does not matter whether they're on the other side of the computer screen. So often, it's been a problem in many forums where people will just say whatever they want. They're not really talking to another human being. After all, they're just typing something in the computer. But yet, they're really talking to another human being. So we need sensitivity and compassion for other people, understanding that they have their own set of experiences. This is one of the things that I teach in course 11 of the IMHS degree program is qualia. Maybe you've heard of that or you haven't, but qualia is simply those subjective experiences that we have. I can tell you what it feels like to ride on an airplane. But unless you ride on an airplane, you really won't know what it feels like. Same thing with a roller coaster. I can describe to you what it's like to have a particular type of adversity, but unless you've done that before, you won't really know. And so that's qualia. We all have our subjective experiences. And the interesting thing is that we can all have similar experiences to a degree, and sometimes we might even have a very, very, very similar experience, near the same experience. I mean, if we all ride on a roller coaster, we do. But there are times in life that we may not have had anything like another person's experience. And this is where we have a little bit of a difference. We might not be able to empathize with them, but we can certainly sympathize with them and show them compassion. And Vicki, you had something you wanted to add on sympathy, empathy, and compassion, I think.
Well, you know, and it's, as a matter of fact, this would be a great place to inject our regards out to Jericho, who's mentioned in the chat that he lost his grandfather. And we notice this especially when there are events that make people uncomfortable. You know, we go into that place of sympathy. And very often, sympathy is paralyzing when people don't know what to say and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is empathy, which very often assumes to believe that you know what you should say and what other people need based on your own subjective, you know, reality. So, you know, empathy, for as wonderful as it is, because that's what we all rely on, it can very often assume too much because if I feel that way, you must feel that way. So we have to be careful about that. Compassion, however, compassion is that stillness for a minute that says, I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to speak from the heart and just make myself available and just ask if I can be of service. And that's how I distinguish very often in difficult situations. And at this particular moment in this kind of a situation, you know, we can send Jericho some empathy, but not an assuming empathy, just offering our hearts with compassion, just that sensitivity to him.
Yeah, so, hey, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, this is how I distinguish these different kinds of feelings. So,
and that's good. And I just wanted to say, I actually had that a little bit backwards. We may not be able to sympathize with somebody, but we can empathize with them. We can show them that empathy, that heartfelt compassion in their plight. And, you know, with Jericho in the Philippines losing his, I believe, his grandfather.
Yeah. You know, and it's difficult, you know, especially grandfather or not. You know, sometimes people get older and we do expect it, but it doesn't change the feeling that we all have in moments, you know, of loss. The umbrella to life is closing a little bit. Someone said that to me once, and I think it's so appropriate, you know, and it's that the feeling. So no matter who it is, how it is, expected or otherwise, you know, we extend our, you know, our feelings. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, sending love and white lights that we talk about every week to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm. And Doug in the chat room, not me, another Doug in the chat room made a good point about just being there for somebody. You can show solidarity. You can show support. And sometimes it's just a compassionate look. It's all that's needed.
That's what I mean by sometimes just offering ourselves, you know, and here's the key, you know, when we're talking about being a real-life human being, sometimes we think that other people don't need it. You know, if it's somebody in a position of authority, or it's your boss, or, you know, it's even your parents, you know, people you look up to, we tend to remove ourselves a bit and not just get down in being human, that everyone feels loss, everyone feels love, everyone, we all have the same emotions. And so not to allow ourselves to get hung up in the role-playing when it comes to real-life stuff.
And everybody needs a pat on the back, too, like you just said. It doesn't matter what their status is, what their station in life is. Some people can put on a very strong front, and yet, again, they're real-life human beings. They feel stress just like all of us. Everybody does. Everybody has their victories and their defeats, their fears, their longings, and so on and so forth. So don't hesitate to give the good word at times. Be encouraging, uplifting, and upbuilding with everybody. And don't assume that just because somebody is out there in front of the public or whatever that they don't need a good word now and then, you know, an uplifting comment. It's just be that way. And that can even be a smile, too.
Well, you know, I think this is a good point to put in where we do put people in positions of authority. Doug, and I think this is where that real-life human being thing comes in. And to me, that's just so critically important that any time I've done my work, I've learned over time that when you get to know people, you know, you kick back and have a cup of coffee and you're not in the work mode or you're not in the other mode, that, hey, I didn't know they had that stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I didn't know they were real. It's very difficult in this world to not want mentors that you don't put on a pedestal somehow. And I think we've all had that. And then when you realize they're human, they like fall from grace, splat. You know?
Good point. That's actually the next point.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've mentioned be personable and down to earth, be approachable, be natural, be yourself. That's part of being a real live human being. And this kind of gets right into what you're talking about, Vicki. You know, we will often put certain people up on a pedestal. They can be a parent. They can be a professor. They can be a mentor. They can be some celebrity. They can be anybody, really. And then when they show signs of being way too human, we somehow not, and this is not global, but often people will then lose some respect for them. And this is part of being a real live human being. And I really believe in this, that personableness, being personable and down to earth and approachable and accessible, being who you are. And this has come up a couple of times. For example, in the school, there are some who call me Doug, there are some who call me Dr. Kelly. It's whatever they vibrate at. Doesn't matter which. But, you know, I usually go by just Doug. I'm Doug. Some people have a hard time with that, and I understand all the respect and all that other stuff that goes with it. But that's an example. Here's another one. It's been suggested to me that sharing some of my personal experiences and life lessons in some of my courses actually lowers my status as the founder of not only the church, but also the school. And then I've had other comments that they've been very thankful for those because it's really helped them. But for some folks, seeing a person as too human will cause them to lose perhaps some respect. I contend that when you show me you are a human being, a real live human being, that only makes me respect you more, or it can, you know. Show me who you are. Show me the challenges that you've had, how you've overcome those challenges. I get life. I understand it. I understand people. We can't set somebody up on a pedestal and let them be the figurehead. Now, that's done all the time, especially in religion. And I can't do that with this church. I'm a terrible cult leader, as I always say, because everything I teach people is that you are enough, that everything is within you, that you don't need me. I teach you how to live without me. Be your own guru. Be your own counselor. And I'm Doug. I'm Doug Kelly. I have my strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, I do. I have my weaknesses too. And I make my mistakes. But don't tell anybody I told you that. I'm just kidding.
You know, I might throw in here, Douglas in the chat room just said, being my authentic self. That was the hardest lesson for me to learn, and I still have difficulty being that in some situations. It's a difficult one for everyone, mm-hmm. Douglas, I'll tell you. It's, you know, you can't very well go into your bank manager and say, geez, you know, I have a dog and a cat, and they've been sick and at the vet. Because you know what? The banker doesn't care. So how do you be your authentic self, knowing that you have to put on, you know, different expressions of yourself or extensions of yourself, or, you know, it's being appropriate to the moment. But there is that consistent self within. And it's a tough one. Sometimes in this world, it can be a very delicate balancing act. Mm-hmm. It really can.
And
to me, really, sorry, it's just respect, too. Mm-hmm. Having respect for yourself and others.
And use your own good judgment, too. It doesn't, if you're going to be yourself, it doesn't mean that you go out and you preach everything about yourself from the rooftops. It doesn't mean that you tell everybody everything about you all the time. Use discretion. You know, it's got to be the appropriate time. It's got to be relevant. But it's like with me. You know, what you see is what you get. I don't have an agenda. I don't have any ulterior motives here. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you a straight-up answer. You know, it's I don't have anything else to lose, guys. I mean, you know, I've already been through that, already lost everything. I know what it's like. And there's really nothing that anybody can take from me that would force me to sacrifice my core values and my ethics. So what you see is what you get. I'm a WYSIWYG type of guy. And that's what I'm trying to advocate here, is being who you are. And of course, that comes back to knowing who you are and why you are who you are. And
well,
so,
you know, you have the bigger advantage, Doug.
I do.
Your name backwards is God.
Oh, duh.
I mean,
yeah, of
people
course.
Like us don't have that advantage.
and on that note, let me just illustrate what it means to be a real live human being, down to earth, personal, and grounded. You know, take me, for example. I'm the Doug. And the Doug sees everything except for that which he does not see. The Doug is everywhere, except for those places which he is not. The
I
Doug knows everything except for what he doesn't know. The Doug is absolutely it, except for in those areas he's not. You get the idea. You know, be
well, I'm just
you
so
are.
Disappointed now.
Oh, I know.
I had you on a pedestal.
Well, I'm sorry to have knocked those legs out.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When we offer respect for what people, their presentation, their self-regard, and we have respect for ourselves, these other things don't really come into play. They're not issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing to learn, though. It's a difficult thing to express respect at the same time, recognize that we're all humans in that emotional regard because we're all working through issues. Well, I don't have any, but you know what I mean. It's I only have the issues that I don't know yet. So, but
well,
I'll get to them.
I don't have any issues except for those that I have. And, you know, I know everything except for that which I don't know. I never make mistakes except for when I do. And it just goes on and on. So you guys get all, y'all get the point. Be a real life human being. Now, being a real life human being also means listening to yourself, listening to your own inner wisdom, and listening to your intuition.
You know, and that brings us to our, you know, the topic of this next half of the show. Knowing you can't have a really good, active, participatory intuition unless you know yourself. Because I tell you what, the biggest thing that will get in the way is your emotional attachment to an outcome. And it's we always have wishes, dreams, hopes. So we tend to wrap our senses around things that we hope for. And so emotions are just number one. And everything that Doug has talked about in the first half of this program gets in the way, and emotionally gets in the way of being intuitive. Now, I'd like to point out that there's two kinds of intuition in my view. And the first one is that just a natural perceptivity. Everyone has a, you know, an active kind of good sense about people. You like them, you don't. It's being able to read energy. That's what mentalists do. They're very highly perceptive. You know, even the slightest twitch can be an indicator. And that's basically that physical energy around us all the time, which if we're too emotional, we won't read that right either. So, you know, a gesture of a hand or, you know, and it's like somebody saying, oh, what did you mean by that? Nothing. So it's that, so watching for our emotions that get in the way of good perceptive abilities. But the other is that other unexplainable intuition, that good sense that really is, I always say it's that gut feeling, because really that's where everything hits us first, is right in the solar plexus before we kind of sort it out and being able to read it. So then we have these preconceived notions. Our belief systems screw everything up. If you have, well, it's true, you know, and I really believe that my whole journey of life is about debriefing myself from everything I've learned so that I can get clearer into the universal mind to not be attached to what I think I believe. You know, and just when I think I know something, boy, I can trash that theory all to hell. So it's to be careful about our belief systems. We have ideas that we live our life by, or, you know, and it's all in our heads. Right, everything is in our heads. So intuition is not going to work then either. So then there's this other thing when I talk about the head. We are so dependent on our visual senses now that it, really that adage of I'll believe it when I see it really does come into play. And it's unfortunate because we are naturally sensory beings. We go by our feelings first, and then the audio and the visual and the smell and the taste and the touch, really, if we get that close to people or things. But really, we're visual, we're auditory, and we smell. And these things can rule, these senses can absolutely rule and interfere with our intuition, if you will. And so we have to watch, and again, just to repeat that, it's our emotional attachments, our preconceived notions or belief systems, and our dependency on our four and five senses. Those things will always get in the way of being better human beings, growing human beings, and what I call the real live human beings, because we're sensory. We're absolutely sensory. When we talk about respect and regard, these are learned experiences. It's from the head. That's in our intellect. Intuition does not live in the brain. Intuition lives in our all-encompassing experience with life. It's what we feel and what we sense, and to learn to trust ourselves. So what we were talking about early, Doug, in our regard for other people, that will affect how we conduct ourselves and how we grow and evolve. Mm-hmm. And especially in the area of metaphysics, it's critical to know who you are and what you're seeing. Otherwise, you don't know what you're seeing.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah.
Well, it's when we talk about being subjective, it's to be that subjective objectivity. You know, we can be as objective as possible, but it's still subjective because it's through our
sure.
own minds.
Right. I mean, is it possible to be 100% objective? You know, maybe we're splitting hairs here, but, you know, perhaps not, because we're seeing it through, you know, our own biases, our own beliefs, and yet we can still remain effectively objective on things, too.
Well, that's where sensibility comes into play. I mean, all things being relative in what's objective, because there's always going to be things we haven't thought about yet. And that's where we have to have an open mind, a pursuing mind that always wants to continue to explore for more information. That includes our intuition. You know, when we're in this field of metaphysics and mysticism and, you know, existentialism and trying to understand who we are, we really, you know, we have viewpoints and we're continually growing. And that's why I say earlier, you know, I'm always saying, every time I think I believe something, well, you know, actually I've been accused, because I tend to be a little bit passionate when I speak to people, I've been accused of being very absolute in how I talk. And I say, absolutely. Uh-huh. That's what I know today. You talk to me next week and I might tell you something entirely different. You know, it's a joke in our family when my kids grew up and left home, and I called my oldest daughter one day and I said, you know all that stuff that I taught you way back when about the blah, blah, blah? Yeah. I said, delete, delete, delete. Uh-huh. I was full of crap. I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, Mom, you can't do that. I've built my whole life on it. That's right. That's exactly what she said. You know, that's the premise of my belief system. I said, time for an overhaul.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, and this is where you're talking about being a real-life human being. We have to be that to our children, no matter how old everybody is. You know, because the whole point of growing, no matter the age, the point of growing is to share who I am. I'm going to share to the best of my ability and appropriately who I am. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to give unsolicited advice. But if I've given you advice yesterday and I've changed my mind today,
yeah, different story.
I'll have to get back to you.
Now, you mentioned something a moment ago on passion, being passionate. And, you know, that's actually a good reminder. And that's something that goes into being a real life human being, too, being passionate about your life and living with passion. You know, that spark inside, and that's something I think is important to mention, that what flips your switch? Find it and then be about doing it. You know, do it with passion. Make sure that you have that spark in you and that you, I mean, I've come across a person or two in my time and I thought they were dead. There was no spark. There was no light. And that's just not a good way to go through life. You know, this chapter of our lives, live it to the full, live it with passion. Be passionate about what you're doing. If you don't know what to be passionate about, that's where you got to figure out who you are and why you are who you are and what your mission is, what your purpose is. And it doesn't matter. You know, your purpose is very subjective. It's very unique to you. You need to figure out what your purpose in life is.
You know, there's these stages to life that we all go through. I remember being young and I would, you know, listen to old people get excited about, a new flower that bloomed in their garden. And I'd say, sheesh, you know, like, is something wrong with them? Is that what happens when you get old? You know, because, I mean, I'm on important stuff, don't you know? I'm reading about existentialism. Don't you think that's important? Like, how could they possibly be excited about a flower? You know, and of course now, geez, on the other side of the fence, flowers are real fun, Doug.
And they're all about existentialism, aren't they?
Exactly. And this is, you know, this is about finding joy in things that, you know, even at some other point in your life you didn't think was very important. But it is really the simplest things. There are so many little tiny everyday things that we can explore to learn about ourselves better. I mean, there's things I learn about myself every day. I think, wow, I didn't know I thought that. Oh, I've never seen that before. Gee, I never took note of that before.
So now you're talking to yourself.
Absolutely. All the time.
Who else is there?
That's right. You know, or the animals. You know, I got horses and a couple of dogs and cats and they're always turning their heads. You know how dogs kind of cock their heads sideways and look at you funny? And, you know, because it's just about going through the day, appreciating these little things. And it's amazing how you can see worlds within worlds within worlds when you sit still. And you just experience yourself. And I mean really experience yourself from the inside out. And connect with all these things around you. Things become multi-dimensional. Ah, and now we're in this whole other, almost like the reverse thing, you know, when we're young and exploring for all the information we can get our hands on, and suddenly it starts turning around and it becomes what you saw out there actually exists within you. Now you've got the challenge of debriefing yourself from all those mental programs. And again, that's been my job too, is getting rid of all these mental programs that interfere or interrupt with my intuition, if you will, my spirit self, my higher self, subconscious self. It doesn't matter what you call it. There's this other part of ourselves that's connected in that universal mind. So when I sit with people, and I think this is all really important for people to acknowledge, that when we're all real life human beings, and understanding that we're all, as it's so apropos in the school, we're all from the same star stuff. And we're just all different expressions of the same thing. Wow, it just opens a whole new door and all kinds of doors to follow after that. Now you start getting a little more intuitive. And then you could observe your feelings. When you had a feeling and you saw how it manifests, now you can start connecting the dots in a new way. So we connect the dots that says, oh, I remember that feeling. Oh, yeah, I was right then, or then when I was wrong. And, it, you know, I'm always testing myself little things. I mean, I watched Survivor tonight, and me and my kids, we've got this little pool going. Of course, I am in the lead, but I failed miserably on my predictions tonight. So what does that say? You know, I'm a psychic for a living, and I couldn't even predict that one. So it's learning all the time. Some of the other things that I used to do with my kids when they were growing up, and now with my grandkids, is little games. Like if you're getting groceries, what's the bill going to add up to? What numbers? And you'd be amazed at how many times you'll get the right numbers, even though they won't be quite in that order. So there's little things about who's phoning, or you have a thought about somebody, and gee, then you happen to hear from them. Or maybe you're thinking about somebody, and really, through the cosmos, they are thinking about you. You have picked up on someone thinking about you. So there's a difference then in telepathy between when you are thinking of someone else versus when they are thinking of you. And you'll be able to detect, the closer you get to your own senses within yourself and that passion, that energy that lives and stirs quietly. I know that's kind of an oxymoron in a way, but it stirs. You'll be able to say, oh, somebody's thinking about me, you know, or, yeah, I was having a thought about somebody else, and I wonder if they picked up on my thought of them. Oh, and lo and behold, 2 hours later. So you begin to learn what kinds of thoughts and energy work together. But if you don't have a passion for life, intuition, it's just not there, because it all goes flat. It just goes flat, two-dimensional.
So how would you answer the question, how do we lose sight of our intuition in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, when we take ourselves too seriously.
Well, that's
I'm
true.
Serious.
That can block a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, little kids, here's the really really twisted irony for me as I observe people raising children, and even how everyone here in the chat room and who is listening has all had parents at some point who was very encouraging of you as a child to be imaginative. You know, there was a tooth fairy, or there was, you know, it was okay to watch Disney, or it's wonderfully magical, and it's wonderfully imaginative, and you suddenly start grade one and you get into grade six. Okay, put away all that stuff, guys. Get serious here. You got to take life serious. And suddenly, all that imagination starts to, you know, kind of diminishes, and it gets oppressed.
So we've lost sight of who we really are as real-life human beings.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I would tell, I tell parents this all the time in my counseling with families and kids is, we're parents up until the time that the kids go to school. And then we have to become really good debriefers, because we only have about an hour a day to really spend time with kids to kind of undo whatever they've learned in the day. And it's to re-encourage what we hope sustains their creativity and their sense of self, to be interested in who they are. And I tell you, that is perhaps one of the harshest lessons to learn, is how few people have ever been asked truly, what do you think? Because people are so busy taking life seriously outside themselves that they really are quoting from books, or quoting from, you know, they got an A on a test, or they got a reward from their boss, and it diminishes our spirit, if you will. We become too intellectual, and we become way too serious. So I think if there's one thing that is a real kicker for intuition and imagination and to begin to dream again, it is taking life way too seriously, becoming too much in the head and not enough in the heart. But you have to have a good sense of self, and I think that's what we're reconstructing. And what I love so much about MCHS is that it does help to reconstruct that sense of self.
It does.
To remember who we are.
Design that. I mean, think about who you are and why you are who you are. You know, be all that you can be without necessarily joining the army. You know,
yeah.
And the comment you just made got me thinking, you know, we grow up and then spend the rest of our lives trying to undo what was done, or outlive something, or figure something out. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, when we become adults, and this is something that ought to be taught to children, when we become an adult, we now have a duty and an obligation to ourselves, first and foremost, to really rethink who we are and why we are who we are. What are our beliefs? Why do we have those beliefs? Why do we have those viewpoints? Where are they? What are they based on? We have that obligation, and that's part of being who you are and being a person, a real-life human being. And you open yourself up to the human experience, which then, you know, encourages that intuitive ability.
My equation, my mathematical equation is simple. A spirit plus a body equals a mind. And a mind is all-encompassing. It's not the brain. It's right. The entire experience of a mind. And that sense of self, you know, imagine that we have these two wonderful forces moving together, working together, and expanding to grow together. And that's our spirit that's visiting a body. So these two memories that merge together that have its own unique expression. And this is why, I mean, and when I first came to IMHS and MCHS, Doug, I got to tell you, in the first course lessons, I am perfect. And I was so relieved to see that, and so relieved to, wow, somebody gets it. Everyone is born exactly perfect for their expression into the incarnation. And, of course, I believe that in reincarnation to the linear mind in my experiences. So whatever that is, we just have to figure it out. But that's a learning process. But I got to tell you, to add to this, I get very tired of hearing people say, well, I'm just learning. You're learning, but you're here to contribute.
Yeah.
See, absolutely. We are born to be able to come into this playground of life and contribute here. We're building a playground.
Yeah.
So it's we're learning about ourselves and how to do that. So, you know, the first 20 years we spend like, okay, what planet am I on? You know, okay, where am I?
And then the last half of your life thinking, they sent me to the wrong planet.
We've had those discussions before. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. You know, it's. I think I'm going to try another planet next time around, you know.
I'm here to study the species.
I see we have a question in the chat room, Doug. Do you want to read that? There's one of...
You read it, because I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
Okay, well, Douglas is asking if we've done a show on addictions before, and can we in the near future? I'd be happy to do a show on addictions. But if I can just say right now, if we are dependent on anything to sustain our lives, we have a form of addiction.
Yeah, like we live breathing. I'm addicted to breathing.
Look, what's happening now, especially in an era of technology, you and I have talked about this one before, Doug. We live in a world that, in our society, we have central heating, we have power, you know, and that now we've got all these other wonderful gadgets. And if a storm comes along and it's gone, we die. And it fails. I mean, I'm always amazed. You know, quite a number of years ago in Quebec, there was an ice storm and dozens of people died. And I just shook my head. And I know we have storms all the time. We have catastrophes all the time. But in this particular instance, I'm thinking 50,000 years on the planet. And it took about 50 years for people to forget that they could go out, build a shelter, and light a fire.
Well, it also shows that out of the side of humanity that some refer to as sheeple, or how you know how malleable people are, how adaptable. I mean, that's honestly one of our strengths, but it can also be a bit of a bad thing if we lose sight of just the common sense thing or the uncommon sense, whatever it is.
Well, the dependency for these things, and then they die. So this is what I mean by if our minds are now, if we're psychologically addicted to using a microwave, then you suddenly say, oh, man, and food doesn't come out of a box, then I have nothing to eat. And this is very interesting. Very many years ago now, I made homemade pancake syrup one day. And it's the first time I had thought to do that, as a mom, running around, kids in school, I'm working. And didn't have any pancake syrup, so made some homemade stuff from scratch. Very easy to do. Sugar, water, vanilla, brown sugar preferably. And my kids said, wow, Mom, this is really good. Did you get the recipe from the bottle? Now, at that moment, I realized how they saw the world and how their minds were framing and their belief systems were framing. So I said, that's it. And, of course, I moved us all to a farm, and of course, the world thought I was out of my mind. But I took out anything that was remotely close to fast food. The kids went around telling people we had no food. It was kind of amusing, but, everything had to be made from scratch. Everything. And it was a whole training, learning for them, because they really felt that we were poor, impoverished, had no food, because I didn't have, a jar of pudding or, a little container of fruit that was sealed from the store, And fascinating. So in the manners of addictions, it lends to, I think, belief systems also. We have to watch our minds. But we can certainly talk about addictions in a future show, Doug. It's one of my specialties as well as it's one of yours. So
yeah, well, you know what?
Let's do that.
Do it next week.
Happy to do that. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit in a preamble about our winter solstice show coming up.
Yes, rite of signature for Luna Prevailing. Try saying that five times.
Yeah, and actually we're doing it on the exact night, which is December 21st. I'm very excited about this. It is in lieu of all the other various seasonal holidays that are occurring, and we'll have a little brief talk about that next week, too, in our preamble to our winter signature, as we called it. So.
excuse me. Allergies are killing me now right now. I don't know why, but they popped up. If you have topics that you would like to hear, let us know. And also, take a moment and send out some positive energy to those who need it. Jericho, we send you some positive energy from us. We hope that you are doing well as can be expected. But send it out to yourself. Send it out to all. Send it out to the planet. And it does help.
Thanks to everybody for joining us tonight, and people in the chat room, and your wonderful comments. And it's very encouraging for us, to have participation and those who are listening also. So
yes.
Thanks. And we're really looking forward to a new year. Doug and I are also planning the first Wednesday in January of 2012. We are going to talk about 2012.
That's right. So, describe in detail how the whole world's going to end.
Thanks again for joining. I'm up for that.
No, I wouldn't believe it. That was a total lie. And we're going to talk about how to view it properly. Some of the things that people are talking about. So that's
yes,
first week in January. 2 weeks from tonight, as Vicki said, the rite of signature, the winter solstice ceremony. We did our first ceremony back on the fall equinox, so it's interesting, and there's certainly messages behind it, so please join us there. Next week, we will do the, as suggested by Douglas, we will do a show on addictions and some great points there. That's
it. Thank you very much, Doug.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to everyone who's listening to the live program, those who are listening to the archives. Please tell others about the show. If you have feedbacks, how we can improve it, let us know. Have a great week.